Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Amen. Listen, everybody, let's all stand. Let's all sing it. I'll Fly Away. Everybody knows this song. Let's sing it out now. One verse. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a hand clap of praise this morning. Come on. Amen. He deserves it all. Amen. Amen. We do not deserve it. He paid it all. That's what we talked about this morning in Sunday school, about him paying everything. That we didn't have to pay that debt. He paid it once for our sins. Amen. Amen. Woo. If that don't make you want to shout, ain't nothing going to. Amen.
But today I'm glad I know who the Lord is. Do you know him today? Can you say, yes, I know him. He's in my heart. He lives in my heart, and I'm serving him, and he's taking care of me. Choir, let's sing. Might have helped if I'd have found it in the computer.
My soul, it was lost. saved won't sue me. Let me get to John. This is off the plan a little bit.
Oh, great. Just crazy.
Go ahead.
On the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation.
Every It's on you.
It's on you. Hit the yellow
I want to thank God for saving my soul.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not been very long. I was a lost church member for many, many years. But the good Lord saw fit to keep pushing me and testing me and convicting me until I couldn't fight anymore.
Amen.
I just thank God for loving me and saving me.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to say that I love the Lord first and foremost, but you know, I was saved when I was a kid. I was probably somewhere in the midst of that age. And I was going to church and they sent me to summer camp and I was saved. And Mandy had me recoup my salvation story the other day. And, you know, I was just a child. I wasn't, just like that song said, I wasn't a drunk on the street. I hadn't really done anything, but I knew I needed salvation.
Amen.
And I've been saved a good long while now, but I never regretted the salvation. And I don't know who this is for, but my heart has just been pounding through the first time he sang the song for me just to tell you that the Lord loves you.
Right.
And yes. Salvation is wonderful.
Yes.
And I promise you, you'll never regret it.
This morning. This morning we had fireproof was our lesson, and we just talked about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego being in the fiery furnace, and we got to the part where there's a fourth person in that fire.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord so much it was him. And whatever fire we're going through, we talked about that Jesus would be there, whether it's sickness or whether it's pain or whether it's sorrow or whatever fire we're facing, he'll be there with us. And one of the little boys in our class, he's came from Tampa, Florida with a friend, and he said, "Well, how do you be saved?" And I said, "Do you want to talk about how to be saved?" And we said, "Just humble your heart and ask Jesus to be in your heart, to come into your heart and tell him that you're a sinner and you want to be saved." And he repeated the prayer and he said he did it. He did it. And I'm so thankful that he did that prayer. And I gave him a Bible, and he might not be able to come back to church, but he can take that Bible with him.
Right.
And y'all pray for him as he goes back to his home.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Question certain circumstances and things I could not understand, and many times in trials weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration, it gets so out of hand. I like this. Oh, but it's then I am reminded I have never been forsaken. Never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all past victories, I'm reminded all God's done for me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. So
the Lord. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
We're going to... I want to talk to you for a few moments. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you made it, brother. Glad you made it. I know that was a difficult thing to do. And I know your dad was a man that loved the Lord. And it had a great testimony. So praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, I know this. I'm glad you love the Lord enough to drive back and be here this morning. I thank you for that.
Amen.
All right. Let's turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. I want to talk to you for a few moments on what happens when one believes on the Lord. Now, I must tell you, there's quite a lot of things that happen when one believes on the Lord. So we're just going to share a few this morning. But over the last couple months, I've incorporated in within messages that I've been preaching answers to four questions. Is we are saved by Christ, then we're indwelt by Christ, then also we possess eternal life. These are things that happen when one believes on the Lord. And then I mentioned last week, I believe it was, maybe the week before, that we experience the peace of God in our lives if we will allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. So those are things that we've looked at over the course of the last months. But I'd like to continue my thoughts on what happens when one believes on the Lord. I trust and hope it will be a blessing to you. It has been, truly has been a blessing to me. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 will be our text, but I'm going to stop right there. We will come back to our text in a few moments because I want to mention a few things and then I'll get to our text. Well, what happens when one believes on the Lord? I want to say this, God becomes our friend. I tell you, the Bible tells us that we were at enmity or we were his enemies. But yet, when he saves us, we become friends with him. And John 15, verse 13 through 15 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus today, let me say this. Jesus Christ died, and he died for your sins and my sins. What does this say? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for who? His friends. So we have a friendship with the very creator of the universe. Then we find Jesus says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not my servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. This friendship gives us, I don't know if that's me, but this friendship gives us a, and I put new batteries in there, Brother Dave, but this friendship gives us something that I believe it means everything. And the fact that this friend shares information with us. The friend Lord Jesus has given us, yes, he's given us the entire canon of the Scriptures. Through his Spirit, through the ages, he has spoken to men of old. And in the trance, if I may say, of the Holy Spirit, they have penned the very words of God. And he has given us this information. I want to tell you, a good friend will give you good directions. A bad friend will give you bad directions. But this friend has directed us and is directing us through his word. Secondly, not only is he sharing information with us, but he's doing it, if you're born again this morning, he does this through this being that we refer to as the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, and he speaks to you through this Spirit. He leads us and guides us and deals with us through him. So there we are. Our friend, he was friend enough to die for us. Our friend was friend enough that he shares with us the Scripture, his thoughts that he has through the canon of the Scriptures. Then we also know what happens when one believes on the Lord, because we find out through God's word, our name is recorded in heaven. So if you believe on Christ, you believe that he was the Son of God, is the Son of God. You believe he came from heaven and trounced across this nasty earth for 33 and a half years and died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and then was resurrected on the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe he did that as God in the flesh, you can be saved. And in this, your name, our name, is recorded in heaven. Jesus told the 70 men of God in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over," now listen to what he's saying to these 70 men of God, "and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now imagine, this is God's promise to these men. I want to say to you that we would get pretty excited to have that charge fall from the very lips of 100% man, 100% God, Jesus Christ. He bestows this upon our lives. And man, he's telling the 70 here, he's saying, now this is pretty cool stuff, but he goes on to say this, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not." Don't get excited, fellas, because I've given you a little power to do my work. Don't get excited because you have the power through me to cast out demons. Don't get too excited about that. But get excited about this, that the spirits are subjected to you. Don't get excited about that, but rather, and I'm reading from Luke chapter 10 and verse 20 at this point, "but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I tell you, when God uses us, we get a little excited about it, and that's okay. But God is saying here, let's keep things in perspective. Get excited and rejoice because our name is written in heaven. We rejoice when we get that job we want. We rejoice when we get that new car that we want. We rejoice when we get some new clothes and maybe some new furnishings for the house. We rejoice when somebody gets saved. Amen. That young man got saved today. And yes, we rejoice over these things. We rejoice when someone joins the church. We rejoice when Sunday school class attendance is up. We rejoice when church attendance is up. We rejoice when the bus ministry is expanding and growing. We rejoice when God puts a new roof, amen, on the church building. We rejoice when God allows the church to build bus facilities or pavilions or a barbecue pit for special fellowships and special services. Man, we get excited and rejoice. We rejoice if God allows us to take on the support of more missionaries. We rejoice and would rejoice if God were to give us the Holy Spirit by which we could cast out demonic forces. All these things are important. But compared to our names being written in heaven, they don't quite meet the standard. Because Jesus says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We need to rejoice this morning. I know times are tough and things are rough. Sometimes things are bad and sad, and it just seems like they're not very glad very often. But I want to tell you that if we know that our name is written in heaven, we can rejoice in knowing that very thing. I like this in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Now entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. The author is telling us two things here. Christians, here we go. Yes, we are commanded to labor. But ladies and gentlemen, we are commanded to labor with those who bear fruit of their Christianity. I tell you, I would break ranks. I would not serve with a group or an individual that had no fruit of their salvation. Because everything they're doing is for work's sake, which is an abomination to God. Hello. So let me say again, for the lost that is trying to serve and make their way to heaven, you can only rejoice when your name is written in heaven. You can only rejoice when you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When He becomes the means of your salvation, when we stop trying to do good and do well and please the Lord through our actions and say, God, we've got nothing to offer, nothing to give. You've given it all. You've offered it all. And I depend on your shed blood for my salvation. Then we can rejoice. We can rejoice because our name is written in heaven. In Revelation, I tell you what, I'm going to skip this, but I want to say this to you. We can rejoice because our name is written in heaven. I was going to tell you that I read an article Tuesday of this week, and I read it by a man that claims to be a minister of the gospel. And he stated this. He says, I want to be a Christian, but do not want to live a biblical life. Can you Now, this is the man that says he's a preacher. This is what's going on in these fluff and stuff churches out here. Then he said this, instead of the God who hates me, I'm trying to embrace the God who would like to have a beer with me sometime. Now, I want to say to you Christians that I understand that sometimes the burden gets so heavy, things do get tough, and in our flesh we go, God, do you hate me? Lord, have you forgotten who I am? Do you not see where what I'm experiencing at this time? Father, do you see and do you know and do you just hate me? I can understand people becoming so discouraged sometimes that they might feel that way. But when this fella said, instead of a God who hates me, I'm trying to embrace the God who would like to have a beer with me sometime. What he is saying is, I do not want a holy God in charge of my life convicting me of my sin, but I want a God that will allow me to do what I want to do, sit down and give me two thumbs up, and shut up, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, if your name is written in heaven, yes, we need to rejoice because of this. When we step out of line, the Holy Spirit will grip our heart. If we can step out of line and something doesn't tear us to pieces, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop rejoicing because I do not believe you're a born-again Christian. I'm not suggesting that Christians will not fall. I'm not suggesting that Christians will never do wrong. But I am saying absolutely, if we do fall into sin's way, there's a convicting power of the Holy Ghost that grabs a hold of our heart and tells us we're doing wrong. And if we can do wrong and continually live in sin, and I want to say to you that we are not saved. Amen. Those are some things that we have or happens to us when one believes on the Lord. I'm almost done, but something got a hold of me. And I'm going to share this with you. And I'm not so sure it's going to do to you what it's done to me, but I want to share this. So I hope, in spite of my inadequacies, I hope in spite of my stuttering and stammering, that just for a moment that you'll listen, just for another moment or two. Because we believe on Jesus, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Now, here's our text. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't say we will sit. It says has made us to sit. We are as good as there. We, in the mind of God, we're already sitting with him in the heavenly places. Christ brought us into his presence and into an intimate relationship with himself. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Can you imagine being seated before our Savior in worship and in fellowship? That's where we are in the mind of Christ. That's what happened when we believe on Jesus. In the mind of God, we are at the table of the marriage supper. The celebration has begun. The presentation of the saints to the Godhead has taken place. We're there. We're sitting in heavenly places with our Lord Jesus. We're sitting in the seat of family fellowship and reminiscing of the days past. We'll go to heaven, and yes, I believe we'll remember and know, and God will allow us to continue to remember those things which were done in His name, for His name, by His children. And there we'll stand or sit in the seat, if I may say again, of family fellowship and reminisce of the past days which we enjoyed in Christ. I think there's going to be days when we'll sit around as Westside Baptist Church and talk about this service or that service or the other service, how God moved in on us. I believe we're sitting in the heavenly seat, if I may say, of admiration, where we will get to talk to Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and Elijah and Elisha and David and Jeremiah and Paul and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John the Baptist. We'll get to sit in the seat of admiration and talk to the saints of God of old. I tell you, that was good, and I enjoyed it, but you just hang on just a minute. It says this in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to look at this again, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Now, I want to stop right there, because on the way to church this morning, I was listening to the radio, and the Perrys were singing, and one of the Perrys, one of the men in the group, I forget the name of this gentleman, had lost his voice, and he told the story of how he prayed and prayed and prayed, and the more he prayed audibly, the stronger his voice got. The doctor said, "You'll never sing again. Matter of fact, not only will you not sing again, but you'll never speak clearly again. You have to hang up your ministry of singing the gospel." And he began to pray, and God began to bless. And so he sang this morning the song, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." Now that's a pretty good story about amazing grace. That's pretty good writing, is it not? Isn't it pretty clear what's going on here? "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Now listen to this. "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home." Hey, that's a pretty good description of grace, is it not? Now, I want to go on. You hang in here with me. Looked up this song today. "Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin?" Now, we're talking about grace, taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Now, let's don't stop. I need some more description here. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaching to all the lost, By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Hey, that's pretty good stuff, but hang on. Wonderful grace of Jesus reaching the most defiled by its transforming power, making me God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. The wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Hey, I've just shared with you two songs that really help to clarify and explain the grace of, but I'm not finished. Hang on. I think it gets better. The song says, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Then it goes on to say, sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with the infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is that stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there's a flowing, a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? These three songs paint a beautiful picture of the grace of God. And one would think that within these three songs that we have it all clenched up and fully understand grace. But look what it says. In that the ages to come, he may show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Now listen to me, church. In the ages to come, ages means forever. In the forever to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. It means the unbroken age. It means perpetuity or endless time. It means eternity. That in the eternity to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Do we understand what is being said here in the Word of God? These songs are great. These songs are wonderful. But when we get to heaven, we've got a lot to learn. In year one, he's going to pull back the layers and show us more about his grace. In year two, in year 2,000, in year 2,000,000, and 2,000,000,000, and 2,000,000,000,000, he'll continue to expose more and more and more of his grace, teaching us the true fullness in the time of eternity. Man, this thing of grace is higher than we can see or reach. It's wider than we can span. It's deeper than we can go, this thing of grace. It's so high, so wide, and so deep. The Bible says it's going to take, woo, the eternity which God hath created to share it all with us. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. We just understand the surface of it all. But with him, it will all be exposed to us through millions and billions of years of eternity. And I tell you what, that got a hold of me. And all of a sudden, amazing grace, how sweet thy sound, took on a new and a deeper meaning. That it's so good that it can't be explained in three songs or 3 years, but it's going to take the teacher of all teachers, the instructor of all instructors, don't you think Jesus knows how to instruct? Don't you think he knows how to teach? But it's so good, it's going to take eternity for him to teach it to us, brother. That's good stuff, amen. I like it. Praise God. Say, what's the big deal? The big deal is this is what happens when one believes on the Lord. That's the big deal. Do you know him? Do you know him this morning? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Have you experienced the surface of this wonderful grace of Jesus? This amazing grace? This grace that is greater than all our sins? Do you know him this morning? Can you claim him as your own? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, our motivation for coming to your house this morning, God, was to glorify your name in song, in prayer, in giving, and in the message. Father, we thank you for the young man that was saved during Sunday school this morning. Lord, thank you for saving a little 8-year-old boy that recognized he needed you. Father, we're here. We're here this morning at Westside Baptist Church. I've come to you in prayer, and I've asked that one be saved, or two, or three, or a dozen be saved today. Father, there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that you would prick their hearts and draw them nigh to you. Could we all stand, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask a question. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to be honest with the Lord. Be honest with yourself. I've asked everyone to close their eyes and to bow their head because I don't want to hurt. I don't want anyone to feel like they're being put on the spot. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But I want to ask you, this morning, if you're not sure that if you were to die this today, you're not sure that if you were to walk out that door at this very moment, get into your vehicle, pull out, and get broadsided by a truck, and go out into eternity, you're not sure, you're just not sure you go to heaven when you die, would you be honest with the Lord and yourself and this preacher this morning? Would you just raise your hand real quickly? Real quickly and put it down. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. And then say, preacher, I know that if I were to die right now, that I'd fall into the arms of Jesus. Can you raise your hand to that this morning? Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. The invitation is in two parts. Christians, God's good. Maybe you just want to come down in this season of thankfulness and say, Lord, thank you for this salvation. Thank you for what we have when we become yours. Then the second part of the invitation is this. Lost person, if you were to die today, you know you'd go out into eternity and you wouldn't go to heaven, but you know that hell would be your home. Would you step out this morning as we sing? Would you please? Jesus says you must be born again. Would you this morning please?
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a good church. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my God. Thank you, Lord, for my home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Was blind, but